your story? And in particular, what's your faith story? So we all have one. You know, a narrative about when we first began hearing about God, when we learned about the story of Jesus. For some, it starts at the very beginning of life, being born into a family where faith is practiced in various ways, coming to church, being baptized, perhaps saying grace before meals or, you know, prayers before bedtime. Sometimes the journey can feel like it starts a bit later. Perhaps a friend shares something about God and you become curious. Or maybe you were feeling a bit lost and decided to see if this faith thing had any legs. And it can be a bit of a meandering story as well. Mine certainly is. So briefly, a bit of my story. I was baptized at my grandma's church when I was 8 years old. And it was done in order to help heal a rift in my family. So my parents had been estranged by my grandma and they were trying to kind of make things up. And so they agreed to have me and my sister baptized to kind of help mend the bond with her. A few years later, during a really rocky time in their marriage, they both, independently from one another, interestingly, became Christians. They both discovered God in very different ways. And so after that time, we began to go to church together. And it was a big marker for me, actually, because I knew the time when they'd been really fighting and arguing. And then last week, I went over to visit them, and we celebrated their 40th wedding anniversary. So it was a really important journey for me as a, you know, learning about faith and seeing the impact that faith had on my parents. Then there was a church leader who said to my parents, there's this really good holiday camp you should send your children on. It's really fantastic. So they sent me on this holiday camp. And while I was there, I was 16, and the penny kind of dropped about this faith thing. And it came alive for me in a really new and exciting way. And I went straight back home, and I was at boarding school at the time. And I went back to boarding school, and I started a Bible study group because I was really excited and enthusiastic. So that was sort of some of the journey with lots of different people coming and meeting me at different times and sharing about their faith. So we had the actions of my grandmother, who prayed for me every day of my life. We had my parents and me viewing what happened in their life. I had the leaders on the camp that I went to and the church leaders. I also had Christian friends, sort of all adding something to my faith story. They taught me. They encouraged me. They showed me what Christian living was to be about. They spoke into my life, and then I was able to go on and speak into other people's lives, to teach other people, to encourage other people, to try, and let's be really honest, sometimes fail to show what Christian living is supposed to be about. There's that famous phrase, isn't there, about children, it takes a village to raise a child. And the same is true of people in their faith. It takes a lot of people speaking into our lives to grow somebody in their faith. So, if we think that knowing God is important, if we think that what Jesus offers us is really worth having, and if our lives are genuinely enriched by faith, then we have to pass that baton on. One of the things I've enjoyed about the last few weeks is we've been looking at stories in the book of Acts, which is where our story came from today. And what's been really striking is how different people have come to faith in different ways at different times, and how people have spoken into their lives. So we've heard in the last few weeks about Peter, and we've heard about Paul, and about Philip. And now we've got a few more names to add into the mix. So today we've read about Apollos, and Priscilla, and Aquila, which are just fantastic names if you ask me. And Priscilla and Aquila were apparently a bit of a power couple in the early church. They owned this business making leather tents. They were Jewish Christians. They'd met Paul when he was in Corinth, and he'd stayed with them for about a year and a half, so he taught them. They also opened up their home, and Christians began to meet in their home and learn about things. So Paul called them his co-workers, and he had a great deal of respect for them. They even went on him on some of his missionary journeys when he was going around teaching. And then here we're introduced to Apollos, who was also a Christian Jew. We don't know how he first came to faith, but we knew that he was baptized by John the Baptist. And he was well educated, he knew his scriptures, but apparently there was a gap in his understanding. And I love what the text says here, because it says that he taught about Jesus accurately, but then Priscilla and Aquila were listening to him, and they saw these gaps in his understanding. So they invited him back to their home to explain the word of God, and it says to explain it more adequately. So it wasn't like that he was wrong and they had to correct him. It was just that he didn't quite have the full picture and they wanted to share a little bit more. And he had the humility to hear it, which I always think is the mark of a good leader, one who's always open to learning. And so this relationship was built up between Priscilla and Aquila and Apollos, so much so that when Apollos decides to move on to another place and he's going to go teach somewhere else, they write a letter to the Christians and ask them to welcome him and receive him. So what we see in this early church is this wonderful network of different Christians and Christian communities that had developed, an array of people kind of teaching faith, learning about faith, and encouraging others in their faith. Some of them travelled around to kind of boost different communities. Others stayed in one place and grew those local faith communities. And we have glimpses of the impact in different people's faith stories had on one another. Now, with lots of different people involved in the process of passing on the faith, it did cause some problems at times, I'm not going to lie. Paul had to write to a church in Corinth when people were becoming a bit too attached to like one particular leader. And he said to them, hey, one of you says, I follow Paul, and another says, I follow Apollos. Are you not mere human beings? What, after all, is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So what was important was the faith that was being passed on, not particularly the person who was passing it on to you, but actually it was about lots of people working together. Paul said, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God was the one who made it grow. So this idea of many people passing on faith is also comes in lots of other different places as well. There's one in Paul wrote a letter to this guy called Timothy, who was another one of those early church kind of leaders. And he said to him, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. I love the fact that it's all the women being passing on this in this one. So your grandmother had this faith and she taught your mother and now it's been passed on to you. And then Timothy goes on to be mentored by Paul and then teach himself in the church. So many people speaking into his life, passing the baton of faith, and he receives it and then passes it on to the next generation. I think this is a really important picture of how we help each other to know God. But I think that in the times that we're living in and in the culture that we're living in, we are a bit in danger of dropping the baton. Sometimes people think that to pass on faith is some sort of indoctrination or that you're forcing someone to believe. And so as a result, we keep faith so far in the realm of our individual private life and hold so highly the rights of other people to believe what they want to believe. And we do that so much that we don't even try to pass on faith. But I think there's a big difference between forcing religion on people and sharing our faith. One is oppressive and aggressive. The other is open and invitational. We shouldn't and really can't force people to believe, but we do want to share the faith that we have. And if we don't, then we drop the baton. I don't think that I would be here now in church teaching and leading if it hadn't been for the many, many people who spoke into my life with their own faith. If it hadn't been for my grandmother who prayed for me every day of my life, or my parents when they discovered faith and showed me what living faith looked like, or the leaders and the teachers and friends that I've had since. Many, many people have taught me and encouraged me and helped me to understand the faith even more adequately. And you know what? I still think people are going to teach me to learn the faith more adequately. I'm sure I have a little more to learn. So the story of the early church is the story of people discovering faith and passing it on. It is the story about a community growing because they shared what God had been up to in Jesus. And not everyone believed, but those who did were excited. They were captivated, eager to know more. And then they went on to share themselves. The long list of people who spoke faith into the lives of others and passed that baton on. We had Paul, Peter, Priscilla, Aquila, Apollos, Philip, Lois, Eunice, Timothy, the list goes on and on. And the list continues to go on. You will have had those who have spoken into your life and contributed to your faith journey. Some of them may well be sitting here in this church. We've had an act of passing on the baton of faith this morning in baptism, as Dorothy has stood here and been brought to baptism and brought into this community. It's that passing the baton on. There'll be parents, there'll be friends, godparents, children's teachers, children's and youth leaders. So I think it's good to pause sometimes and just ponder on who are those people who have spoken into my life? Who are those people who have shared their faith with me and enabled me to know God and learn more about God? And let's thank God for them. Let's thank them for what they've contributed to us and our faith journey. And then let's also think about the people who we can encourage in their faith, whose lives we have the opportunity to speak into. Let's think about who we can pass that baton of faith onto, not forcing it into people's hands, but just offering it openly and freely. So we're going to just take a minute of quiet now, and in that quiet, just think back in yourself and in your life, the people who have spoken faith, but also encouraged you more generally as well in your life. And as you think about them, just say thank you.